In August of 2011, I preached a message titled, A Moment of Time. And in that message, I quoted a line from an article I had just read about a book that at that time was yet to be published. In fact, I found out the book was just released in this past month. That book was titled, 10 Minutes. And here's what I quoted. And it said, a lot can happen in 10 minutes. Skyscrapers can fall. Tsunamis can wipe a town off the map. Presidents can be inaugurated. In the mere time frame of 10 minutes, people are born, people die. Eternal destinies are decided in just a matter of minutes. Time is something that we're all concerned with. Well, at least most people are concerned with time, especially in our culture. Now, I know there are some cultures in the world today that time is, well, we'll get around to it, you know. And I know here in the South, it seems to be a little bit more of the we'll get around to it when we can type nature than what I came from out of Southern California, where everything was on a minute-by-minute schedule, and this was to be done at this time, and that was to be done at that time. And my wife has often told me, if I have a particular job in store for me in heaven, it's to be timekeeper. Because I've always been so much, well, it's time, it's time, it's time, it's time. In fact, one of the things I've said I wanted for this church, and I looked one up and found it on the internet the other day, and it was just a bit pricier than I figured I wanted to spend. But I wanted a clock to put on the back wall that had 4-inch high digital numbers that told me how, from a starting point, just like a stopwatch, from a starting point going up, a count-up clock. Because time has been important to me. I worked in radio for 18 years, and it was extremely important that we watch the time. We had to have things done in a timely manner. So we're all, to some extent, concerned with time. The clock is ticking for us as individuals. It starts ticking the moment that we're conceived, actually. And I know a lot of people, especially in today's society, when we begin to talk about conception and about birth and life, we want to say, well, life doesn't begin until. But I've got news for you. In my book, life begins when you are conceived. At that point of conception, that's when the clock begins to tick for you. Yes, maybe that body isn't completely formed yet, and yes, there are certain things that still have to take place, but the clock has started ticking. And that clock will continue to tick for you until the day that you breathe your last breath. Time is, well, like I said, it's just so important, and we're concerned about it. How many of you have a watch? Almost everybody here was wearing a watch. And if you don't have a watch, you pull out your cell phone and you look at the time on your cell phone. And, you know, you got clocks everywhere, and we keep... In fact, how many of you have looked at your watch since you've been here in service this morning? Yeah, a couple of people have raised their hand. I know I looked at mine, and I know we got off to a little bit of a late start this morning, and I kept looking at my watch, but because we're concerned about time. Well, do you remember when you were a child that time seemed to take forever? Think back about it. And many of us, as we remember back, we can only remember back so far in our childhood. But for a lot of us, remember back especially, we still have some good memories as far as what went on and the era of time when we started school, for example. Do you remember that first year of school? How long it took? It was a lifetime. And I remember each summer, we'd go to summer, and then summers went so fast, but school took forever. The days were so long, they drug out. First grade, you thought you'd never get to the sixth grade. That was a lifetime away. In fact, by the time you reached the sixth grade, you would have doubled in age from what you were at the time you started first grade. Time took forever. But then, as you noticed, maybe as you got in towards like high school, that it seemed to go by a little bit faster. And I remember back to the decade that I graduated from high school, and I remember the 10 years preceding that. That was in the 50s, in case anybody's sitting there trying to figure it out. And the 50s, in my mind, as I look back, the things that happened during that time frame took forever to occur. It was such a long, drawn out, stretched out period of time. And yet I look back now, and we were watching the Lawrence Welk show the other night, and they showed the first show when Lawrence Welk syndicated his program, which was made in 1971. And I looked at my wife and I said, "You see that one guy on there?" I said, "Just think about how young he looks." I said, "I know about how old he is because he's about 2 years older than me." And I said, "He is now about 72 years old." I said, "Think about it." And we remember back, and it just seems like it was a short period of time ago that these things happened. But yet they were a long period of time. So time works for us in different ways. I looked up the dictionary definition of time, and the Merriam-Webster dictionary broke the definition down into 14 parts. It took almost an entire page to give what that definition was. But basically, here are the three most common uses of the word time. A measured or measurable period during which an action, process, or condition exists or continues. Duration. A non-spatial continuum that is measured in terms of events which succeed one another from past through present to future. Leisure, time for reading, for example. The point or period when something occurs. An appointment, fixed or customary. Moment or hour for something to happen, begin, or end. An opportune or suitable moment, often used in the phrase about time or about time for a change. In fact, Job had something to say about time. He said in Job chapter 7, verses 1 through 2, "Is there not an appointed time for man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? For a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work." And that in the complete Jewish Bible reads this way: "Human life on earth is like serving in the army. Yes, we drudge through our days like a hired worker, like a slave longing for shade, like a worker thinking only of his wages." Now, reading it that way, how many of you sometimes get up in the morning and you go to your job? And you kind of feel that way. Like we're drudging through it. Oh, will this day ever end? I came in here and I punched in at 8 o'clock. I've been here for hours. Oh my, it's only 8:30. Will lunch ever come? 10 hours later, at least it's the way it seems, we look at our clock, it's 11 o'clock. Oh, will I ever make it? Time has this way of going rapidly or drudgingly slow. It takes that slow motion action. That's right. That's the way it takes sometimes. And you wonder, will these things ever come to an end? Well, here's what God has to say about time. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Moreover, dear friends, do not ignore this. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day." Did you ever just stop to think about it that way? God doesn't see time the same way we do. He has His time, His way, and guess what? He's going to do it His way. and in His time. Remember the old prayer that everybody talks about once in a while, that you always get a good laugh out, Lord, please grant me patience, and I need it right now. And that's kind of the way we really all are. We need that patience, and we need it right now. God will work in His appointed time. I know in Bible study on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about Abraham. And in Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 through 14, it says, And Adonai said to Abram, Why did Sarah laugh and ask, Am I really going to bear a child when I am so old? Is anything too hard for Adonai? At the time set for it, and at this season next year, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son. Now, if we read that in the King James Version, it says, At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. He has said, At the time appointed, this is going to take place. It does not matter how we looked at things in the natural, because you see, they were looking at the natural. Abraham was looking at the natural. Sarah was looking at the natural and saying, This is just not possible. How can this happen? And if you go read the scripture there, you find out they were well up in years, beyond childbearing years, in their own minds, but not in God's mind and in God's plan and in God's will. And when God said it was going to happen, it happened. Even the time for Messiah to come was at an appointed time. Look at the scriptures. The time frame when the Old Testament prophets and God began to reveal to them and various other people in the Old Testament that Messiah was going to come. And they began to talk about Messiah that was going to come. Yet Messiah came when? Not in their time, because if they'd have had it their way, Jesus would have been born 2,000 years earlier. But it was in God's time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, But when the appointed time arrived, God sent forth His Son. He was born from a woman, born into a culture in which legalistic perversion of the Torah was the norm. It was God's time. In the King James, that word appointed is translated fullness. And the fullness of time, when the time was right. And you know, I think that's one of the hardest things that we as Christians in particular have to deal with, is the fact that we have trouble waiting for the fullness or the appointment of God's time for things to take place, knowing that God will do it when God is ready and not when we're so much ready. There's a book that I purchased a couple of years ago, and I would recommend everybody read this book if you get a chance. It's not that expensive a book to buy, by Gerald W. Pinson. And it's titled The Fullness of Time. And by the way, if you look on Amazon.com, there's about six other books with that same title. But the book by Gerald W. Pinson. And in this book, the author refers to the events of the 400-year intertestamental silent centuries which brought about the fullness of time. Now, what is the period we're talking about there? The 400 years between the book of Malachi in the Old Testament and the book of Matthew in the New Testament. That years that the Scripture does not speak about. But things continued on, and God worked a plan during that time. It's very interesting to sit down and read and study some of the events that took place in that 400-year period. And I know there are books that you can find that proclaim to be or purport to be part of Holy Scripture that were written during that period of time, which we do not necessarily accept as canonical books. But they talk of some of the events. And there was a lot of things that happened during that time. But in this, he talks about the period in when Jerusalem was overrun by the Greeks and the Romans. And we look back sometimes and we think about the horror of it all when we think about some of the things that happened and the persecution that the Jewish people went through during that time. Captives in their own country. But God had a plan. And God had a plan that was going to come to fruition in His time. And this is what Mr. Pinson talks about as he's talking about the secular history of the world during that 400 years. And how as the secular history played out, and events took place, brought it to the moment, the time was right. The time was full, so to speak. It was the appointed time for Messiah to come, that the news of Messiah could be spread to the world. And you say, well, we talk about the world back then wasn't quite the same as we talk about the world now, but I'm talking about the known world. At that time, it was possible to spread that gospel, that news, that word to all of the known world, and to do it securely and pretty much safely. I know we talk about sometimes about at Christmas, as Christmas is coming up in a couple of months, about some of the events that took place there. And it's kind of interesting that, yes, this is how the wise men, the Magi, came to know. They had learned from the captivity that happened hundreds of years earlier. They had learned that a Messiah was going to come, and the news spread. And they saw the star, and they realized it was time that Messiah would be born. We're aware of the events that's going on in the world today, and as Jesus speaks to His disciples in Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, He speaks of some of the events that we are witnessing in our lifetime almost 2,000 years later. But God spoke to the prophet Habakkuk over 1,600 years ago before that and said in Habakkuk 2, verses 2 and 3, "Then Adonai answered me, and he said, write down the vision clearly on tablets so that even a runner can read it. For the vision is meant for its appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. It may take a while, but wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not delay." 1,600 years. Actually, it's 2,600 years ago, because it was 600 years before the time of Christ and 2,000 years before since then. But all of this period of time has gone by, and we're still waiting for some of this to be fulfilled. But He has said the time will come. Not too much difference in the time frame there. God spoke to a man by the name of Daniel. And we're all familiar with Daniel. You know, he was the one that got thrown into the lion's den. He was supposed to have been breakfast for the lions. Dinner, lunch, supper, whatever. He was supposed to have been their main course of the day. And when they came back the next day, he's still there and they're still hungry. Because God watched out for Daniel. And of course, we all know the story that took place during that same time frame of the three Hebrew children who were cast into the fiery furnace. And the king looks in and says, "I thought we threw three people in there, but I see a fourth one, and that fourth one has the appearance of the Son of God." You see, these people weren't as ignorant in some ways as we sometimes maybe think they are, because God began to dealing with some of them and was working out things. His plan and His time was going to take place. Daniel wrote in chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, about 553 B.C., he said, "I heard a human voice calling from between the banks of the Ulial, 'Gabriel, make this man understand the vision.' And he came up to where I was standing, and his approach so terrified me that I fell on my face. But he said unto me, 'Human being, understand that the vision refers to the time of the end.'" What, almost 2,600 years ago, God is showing Habakkuk, He's showing Daniel, things that will take place in the end of times. And we're not talking about when the earth is totally destroyed and a giant meteor crashes into it, as some people say will happen, and all of these things, because the Bible tells us world without end. It's the age that's coming to an end, and this age is coming to an end. The age is a measurement of time. And this time that we are living in is coming to an end. This situations that we're going through are going to be coming to an end because God has His plan set in place. And I know we're looking at some things in the world today that if you look at them just in the natural, they can be terrifying almost. And if you're living in a certain parts of the world, even as a Christian, they can be terrifying because you don't know if that next knock on your door might not be somebody to come and take you away. Because why? Your only crime, that of being a Christian. You say, well, that doesn't happen here. Don't count that it can't happen. Because it could. The day could come here when that knock on the door would be because you're a Christian. God has His appointed time for things to happen in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And in the complete Jewish Bible that reads, "For He says, at the acceptable time I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you." God is going to be there for us in the day of our salvation. And we're talking about not only the salvation of our soul, but the time of need that we have in our life. When you come to that time of need in your life, God will be there to help you. Amen. If you'll let Him. God, throughout the Scripture, made many promises. In fact, if you look at it from a legal point of view, He made a contract and said, "I will do this for you." But with every contract, there's that second part. If you will. If you will. And all we've got to do basically is yield our lives to God. Turn our life over to Him and say, "God, I make you Lord of my life. I make you ruler of my life. Come into my heart." And when you do that and you let Him take over, He will be there for you in your time of need. I know, and I hate to keep referring back to this, but I know God was there for me in my time of need a little over three months ago. When a lot of people thought that I wasn't going to make it. I have an acquaintance from years back, and I just found out that just a few weeks ago, he had a heart attack, and closest hospital that could handle him, his need was over an hour and a half away by ambulance. And they told his wife, "He won't make it." But God was there for him during his time of need, and he made it. And he's back home doing okay. God will be there for you. And sometimes when God is there for us, it doesn't always work out exactly the way we think it should. But I've got news for you. God's got your best interests in mind. He's going to work out things for the best for you if you will let Him. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. Here's what Adonai says. "At the time when I choose, I will answer you. On the day of salvation, I will help you. I have preserved you, and I have appointed you to be the covenant for a people, to restore the land and distribute again its ruined inheritance to their owners." So over 700 years before the words in 2 Corinthians, where he says, "I will hear you at the acceptable time," this is the day of salvation, these words were written that we just read in Isaiah. And guess what? The Hebrew word used in Isaiah 49 for the English word salvation is, what is the word? Hebrew students here? Yeshua. Means salvation. He says, "At the time I will choose you, I will answer you. On the day of Yeshua, I will help you." Yeshua, our salvation. our salvation. It's more than just a name. It's everything. It's everything. Clock is ticking. And I really kind of wished I had some sound effects there of a ticking clock, but I didn't have any. But the clock is ticking. Time is running out. If you're someone that's listening to me today by various other means that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I've got news. Today is the day of salvation for you. All you've got to do is open up and say, Jesus, salvation, come into my heart. Yeshua, salvation, come into my heart. Come into my life. He's there waiting for you. He'll be there for you if you'll just let him in. But you see, the thing is, the decision is yours. Just even as it is as Christians, as we go through our life, we still make decisions sometimes that, well, we sometimes wish we hadn't made. Did you ever do that? After you became a Christian, you sometimes made a stupid decision that you regretted later. Yeah? I think we all do it sometime or another. I wish I hadn't have done that. You know, but you know what? God is there for us. Sometimes we get ourselves into a mess, and how am I going to get out of this? But God will be there for us if we'll let him. We go back in the Bible, and we read there were some people in the Bible that made some stupid decisions, but God was there for them when they let God take charge of their life, when they asked him to come in and help them out. Salvation will be there for us. Jesus will be there for us. Yeshua will be there for us. It doesn't matter. He knows what his name is. And you cry out, Jesus, or you cry out, Yeshua. Or you cry it out in Greek or any other language of the world. He knows when you call his name. The song we sang earlier today, he knows my name. I've got news. When we cry out, no matter what name we go by to call him, he knows who we're talking to. And when we cry out, he says, oh, they're crying out to me. I've got to help them out. I've got to help them out. Because he's going to be there for us. And he'll be there for us in his time. Amen. Sometimes we've got to learn to have that patience, though, to realize it's going to be in his time. And as we look at the situations going on in the world today, he's taking care of things in his time, in his way. And Father, I just ask today that, Father, as we come before you, Father, I am so thankful that you loved us so much that you did send Yeshua, salvation to us. And Father, that he would come, that he would know what we as human beings go through, Father, as he lived among us for 33 years. And Father, as he learned these things and experienced these things with us, Father, he then went willingly to the cross where he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary that we could have the atonement for our sins. And Father, all we have to do is call out unto him and he will come into our heart and into our life, Father. And Father, for those listening today that don't know Jesus, again, I remind them, Father, that today is the appointed time for them to ask Yeshua into their heart and life. I thank you for it now, for I've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.